This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up today, we've got our buddy Paul Moyer joining us at 3 o'clock. Talk some Seahawks football as it's game week. We're just a couple days away from game one, so we'll get his take on everything that's happened and everything we expect to see. John Clayton will join us at 4 o'clock, as he does every day at that time, and get into what this team is looking at. And then I know you just spent 2 hours talking about this, Dave.
That was a different person altogether.
Different person. You saved your A material for this,
exactly
right?
Well, I don't want to say that in case Jake and Stacy or the Seahawks are listening.
This is where you're really trying now. Now you're focused.
It was nice getting to talk to the players, man. We talked to Carlos Dunlap, who has the best laugh ever. And we just, whenever he laughs, he's got kind of a giggle.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was, but that was my laugh.
Oh. He's a good dude. I don't know if we've talked to him on our show. I know you've talked to him on TV.
I interviewed him on our show one time. It was just me, and he had to go somewhere, so it wasn't a great time for him. So, but yeah, I mean, he's just very happy. 52 different quarterbacks that he's sacked. Can you imagine that?
Oh, I thought you were going to say that he's played with. I was going to say, wow, that was a lot of turnover in Cincinnati.
They had a lot
more people back there than I remember.
Different quarterbacks. Carson Wentz only once. He said that Peyton Manning didn't talk smack, but Tom Brady did when he sacked him.
Sounds about right, doesn't
it? Yeah, I would think so.
I could see Peyton Manning like patting you on the back like, hey, man, that was a good tackle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, Brady does get a little chippy out there, and you can hear him screaming and yelling every once in a while, but remember that when him and Joshy Boy McDaniels had that fight on the sidelines in Buffalo?
Yeah.
And it was like, screaming at him, yelling.
Brady looks like he's got a little bit of that Marino edge to him, where Marino used to.
He could snap.
He would light people up. I remember one of my first jobs ever in this business, I think I told you this, was a game, Dolphins and Seahawks in the Kingdome. And I was an intern. And somehow I got the gig of being the guy that holds the batteries on the sideline for James Lofton's wireless pack.
No way.
So I just stood next to him the whole time, followed him around as he was doing his reports, and I just had a pocket full of batteries ready to go if his batteries wore out. And then there was I don't know if Marino threw an interception or what happened, but we were standing right where he was coming off the field on the Dolphins sideline, and he was up in this guy, just letting him have, screaming
at him. Let me guess, one of his receivers.
Either that or a lineman. I can't remember, but he was at the top of his lungs, red-faced, just letting this guy have it. And dude just kind of walked, didn't even really acknowledge that he was saying anything. I'm like, man. I mean, he was lighting them up like he hated him for life.
I remember when we played, well, actually the time when I picked him off, he had a red face the next series when he came up and he looked over and he's like looking over the line and he looks at me and goes, nice play. He's got this red face still. Like I was like, wow. I told him, nice tackle, by the way, which it wasn't. I wanted to ask you, James Lofton.
Yeah.
Cool?
Oh, yeah.
James Lofton.
Very nice. I was an idiot kid. I was sitting there and says, Mr. Lofton, I've got batteries if you need them. I'll be right here. I'll be standing right next to you. Don't you worry.
Man, you used to talk like that?
I did, yeah. Yeah, that's my little kid voice.
No, that's your, well, whatever.
Just another one.
Just another one of your voices. Before we get started, can I just make a public announcement about traffic?
Sure.
This is for the people in Sammamish. The roundabout is not a stop sign at all. It's not a stop sign at all. If there's a car there, it's a stop sign, okay? Also, people of Seattle, you know how one lane disappears down into another one? And the one lane remains, and the other one dotted line, and then it disappears, and you merge in.
Yeah, yeah.
People in Seattle, I think that staying in the right lane that doesn't disappear is somehow honorable. It's not, okay? Because if you go up on the left side, then the traffic merges like a zipper, and it's more efficient. So the people that try to block somebody from going around in the zip line or on the disappearing lane,
right?
Idiotic. Okay. Okay.
We can continue.
I thought you were going to make a more important public announcement.
I feel his pain because I often want to come in here and go, when you're doing this on the road, you're helping nobody. Right. You're part of the problem.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and how do you get 405 that's going 70 miles an hour to all of a sudden dead stop?
And then there's nothing blocking it.
Because nobody keeps knows. Up with the people. And by the way, the Kennedale Hill, yeah, you have to step on the gas to maintain the 60 mile an hour speed limit.
You do?
Yeah, because you're going uphill.
It's amazing. Right. Merging is a unique skill around the state, I've learned.
Well, the thing about the merging thing is just, to me, I don't know why you get it, but for some reason people think that, like, you're a rat if you drive up in the lane that's disappearing. It's like, no, that's what makes it efficient. They all merge together.
You're talking about, now, if I've been waiting in a line, like I'm in this line of cars that's going to turn right or something, and then somebody just comes zipping up to the front of the line.
And cuts somebody off?
Yeah.
Oh, that's no good.
That's no good.
No, absolutely not. But if the two are meant to merge, go up to the point where it merges.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a zipper. It's supposed to be every other one. It's a zipper.
Could have swore I just saw that or said that.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? You're playing the role of me.
Yeah.
You just repeated back to me something I said.
I'm emphasizing how it's supposed to work for people who don't seem to understand. They give you the passive aggressive, I don't see you. I don't see you. I'm not letting you in. I don't see you. And they don't. It's like every other one.
Yeah.
This
exactly.
is how this will work for all of us.
Yeah. And it's more efficient that way.
Yeah.
That's why they have that. It was like yesterday when I'm like, hey, look like one of those little dolls with the hair when you had just said that.
Doll. No, except that I heard you say zipper. I was
all
emphasizing
it. You were emphasizing it. I get it.
Yeah. And 206 says that announcement was very important.
Thank you. Especially the roundabout thing. It drives me crazy up there. But anyway, I'm done.
Let's get
back to the
Lefko, did we cut you? You wanted to weigh in on the zipper?
No.
On the traffic?
I thought Dave was going to say another more important announcement.
Well, which one? Like what?
Well, it's a day today that we should celebrate someone.
Aha!
Oh.
Yeah.
That's literally what I thought you interrupted this whole discussion for. We were talking about the Seahawks.
No, I think it's perfectly appropriate that traffic is more important than Bob's birthday.
Yeah, you go ahead and talk about traffic. That's fine.
It's highly celebrated.
Listen, you turn 34 once in your life, you move on.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was going to give you 29, but I thought that it was appropriate that I got you Famous Amos cookies and the vegetable straws down there because it's not an occasion that one likes to celebrate necessarily if you're Bob Stelton.
Yeah, I don't really.
Well, we honor it by complaining about traffic.
Yeah,
happy birthday.
There you go. I can relate to that. Thank you.
Just remember what Pete Carroll told you. It's just a number.
Just a number. That's right. That's right.
Just a number. Happy birthday.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. All right. So we get ready for the Seahawks, and everybody's present and accounted for. Quandre Diggs is in, Dwayne Brown is in, and we're getting some details on the contract adjustments. The Diggs deal announced by Field Yates, $100,000 in per-game bonuses changed to salary. So nobody got a new contract, per se. Nobody got more years. Nobody got extended in a raise. They just moved money around. $5.05 million of his salary converted into a signing bonus that he gets now. And adds a void year so that the cost is split over two seasons for the Seahawks. So they're maneuvering. They're finding those loopholes. That's what the cap guy does. That's
right.
That's the magic of having those guys. Here's how we can appease the player. We can pacify them. They get this big chunk of money up front. We're not giving them more money. They're just getting it now, or we're going to give it to them in the form of a bonus versus a this. And, you know, it's such a shell game. It's a shell game, the salary cap, the way they just move this over here, and then we're going to slide this over here, and then we'll rename this part this. Right. But it's all the same money.
Right. Well, and a lot of it's done by a guy who shall not be named that would bring us towels and water
really good
and things
guy.
Like that.
I'm a big fan of that guy.
He's a solid dude, man. But, I mean, he does a really good job. They do a great job with their cap. Here's the other thing, too, and we'll get to this later. But, you know, just we heard from Jamal Adams. We see Quandre Diggs was in camp. We saw that Dwayne Brown was in camp. They're doing it right, man, and they're doing it in a way. There's no fight. So all that, the whole thing about, oh, there's all this, you know, all these malcontents up in Seattle, and you know, we heard all of that stuff. It's not true, and you know, take it from the players, and you know, and I'm sorry to jump ahead, but what I'm talking about. Cut number two, you know, to me, I mean, that's exactly, it looks like, what we heard from Jamal Adams.
No, I work too hard, man. I work too hard to not perform. And I love my teammates. You know what I mean? I love the game. I love Sundays. I mean, you get to be this age and play this long. You know, the Monday through Saturday, it's not quite the fun part. You know what I mean? It's necessary, and you enjoy it, but it's Sunday is when it all comes together. And so for me to do everything but that would kill me inside.
So that was Dwayne Brown, in case you didn't know. And that was him saying he was never going to miss a game.
Right.
So you know, as much as we were like, hey, what's going on? What are they going to do? Is he going to play? Or what is Obwehi going to be out there? Jamarco Jones? It can't be Stone Forest. I mean, we're sort of preparing for the worst if he were going to hold out into a season, which he had done in Houston.
Right. Do you think he would have been saying these things in Houston?
No. His was more about his issue with the owner.
Yeah.
And some things that were said out there.
Well, and I think O'Brien's not the greatest to play for.
Yeah, that seems to be pretty
and
clear.
I believe he is helping out in Alabama now, is he?
Back is that where he's at?
I have to look it up. But to me, I didn't care for him as a coach. I just didn't like his style, and I don't think Dwayne did either. And, you know, the other thing is everybody thinks Dwayne's this big, grumpy guy. Dwayne's a super nice guy. He is a very...
He's a gentle giant.
He is. He's maybe one of the most interesting players that we've talked to also. I feel like you could talk to him about anything. And just a really nice guy. And, you know, when he was working out in the weight room behind us when he wasn't practicing, you know, he's giving us a wave and stuff. I mean, he's just, you know, everybody thought he was this grumpy guy that was going to be angry and he was going to hold out. And that's not him at all. So, yeah, I just thought that was interesting that both him and Jamal said the same thing.
Yeah. And you got one more from Dwayne saying, just talking about the contract itself, saying it's not exactly what I wanted, but he's happy.
Last few weeks has been, it's been interesting. You know what I mean? It hasn't been as stressful, I think, as a lot of people on the outside looking in may have thought. I had my expectations for what I wanted. And they had in their minds what they thought they could get done. What we came to wasn't exactly what I want it, but, you know, it's okay. It's a business. We came to a compromise. I'm happy about it. They're happy about it. Now I'm ready to get to work.
And Russell Wilson, most importantly, is happy about it.
Yeah, and Dwayne, I read a lot of his quotes. I didn't hear it, but I read a lot of his quotes where he really appreciated Russell sort of publicly saying, hey, this guy is one of the best left tackles in the game and just all the praise, and he needs to be here. And you know, I mean, that goes a long way. We just saw it in Pittsburgh where Big Ben was talking about T.J. Watt, who just signed a 4-year, $122 million or something like that extension. But he came out and said, pay him whatever he wants.
Yeah, well, the other thing Roethlisberger said was that I've taken a lot of discounts around here so they can pay guys like this.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, yeah, that's all right, Big Ben. I mean,
Once again, look at how gracious I've been. I battled through these injuries, life-altering injuries.
Yeah, there was something about that where he was putting that little comment in there, and it was
a humble brag.
Yeah, I guess that was it. I was going to say tooting his own horn or whatever, but yeah, and he was supporting his teammate. But you know, it's funny when Russ said that, it just didn't come off that way. And I mentioned this earlier, but a couple of weeks ago that. Because the question was like, well, how important is Dwayne Brown? Well, like, he's really important. And like anybody that is a Seahawks fan would know that. And that's really what Russ said. But, I mean, it is nice to have that kind of, you know, support from your quarterback. And certainly he stands to gain quite a bit from having Dwayne Brown out on the field. But I just think it's really interesting that, you know, we always talk about what a great franchise this is and how the players like it and everything. But, you know, business is business, like Dwayne said. And, you know, of course he didn't get what he wanted. You know, the Seahawks probably didn't get exactly what they wanted. But you find a way to find middle ground. But it's not just because of that great facility and the dogs running around with the landscapers and the lake.
Although
in the
that's
background.
A big, big
that is big
selling point.
It's not the organic food that they have up in the restaurant. It's not
it's just so different from other places out there.
We'll hear plenty of that later. And then, you know, all the locker room, the facilities, everything. And remember, Jamal Adams told us, he's like, it's first class here, man. Even the negotiation with Schneider.
Yeah.
And again, this still goes back to me. That Schneider, more than any GM that I've ever heard interviewed or known or whatever, loves the players.
Yeah.
And he gets that it's all about the players. And well, so that to me is where the whole thing starts.
I just think, you know, it was interesting to hear Dwayne, and we may find that bite of him. You do have it? This is him just talking about how he appreciated Russell kind of going to bat for him.
Russ is my guy. You know, it meant a lot to me. You know, he didn't have to do that. You know what I mean? His legacy here is set in stone, you know what I mean? It just goes to show how much he appreciates the work I put in. You know, I love that guy. You know, and that's another reason why I said I never wanted to miss any games. because I want to be out there working for him as well.
That's pretty cool. I mean, you can hear how much that meant to him. And maybe on the surface, if you're a fan, you hear it, you're like, hey, Russell wants this guy, of course. But I think saying it publicly, it kind of puts a little level of pressure on the organization. Like, hey, your franchise quarterback is saying, you got to sign this guy, or Big Ben. I'll give him credit for what he said, the whole look what I've done with my salary, he can keep that. But him saying, pay him whatever he wants, mm-hmm. and saying it publicly, those moments go a long way when it's coming from the face of the organization, the face of the team.
Right. Yeah, and that, I mean, and Russ, again, and I'm not trying to say, sorry, 360 distracted me. Dave, it's organic, not organic. There's a difference. Very well done.
See, I thought they, initially I thought there is this a Germans bombing Pearl Harbor
Germans
thing? They didn't get the reference, but yeah it's good.
That was That's very good. Clever. 360 had to read that one. Yeah, but you know, I mean, again, that's what you do as a quarterback, and of course he's going to do that. But you know, I mean, you never know. There might be some franchises where they're going to the quarterback and going, "Hey, man, we're trying to negotiate with this guy. Just if anybody asks you about Dwayne Brown, just say, yeah, I can't really comment on that." Because you could have done that. Russ could have done that. And, you know, I'm saying, well, of course, he answered the question. Of course, he's very important and everything. But he could have gone that way.
Spoken generalities and said, yeah, you know, listen, it's business and hopefully they'll get things worked out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He could have been very generic and vague about it. And
right.
Moved on. And, hey, I'm not in there. It's, you know, I'm not negotiating. Hopefully they get things done.
You're right. So, yeah, that's true. I mean, he did go to bat for his guy. And then also, you know, remember there was the whole thing with, you know, Russ getting hit and talking about getting hit so much.
Here's Dwayne talking about that because he was asked about those comments and, you know, some speculated it's a big deal to them. Some speculated, no, these guys know what he meant and you guys are making a big deal out of it. And Dwayne Brown saying, no. There was a conversation had.
You guys saw what came out. I had to talk to him. Oh, we had a good conversation. You know what I mean? Obviously, you know, there was some stuff said after the Super Bowl. We talked about it. It's a good talk. As an offensive lineman, you know, it's something that I take pride in. You know what I mean? It's keeping my quarterback clean. You know, so, you know, you hated to hear it, but at the same time, I think, you know, a lot of that stuff dated, his thoughts and feelings dated from before I was here, you know, and you know, he feels how he feels. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's a group effort to not have sex. It's not just on us. You know what I mean? And I think we're all aware of that. But I'm the first person to go off whenever I see him get hit. You know, so he knows that. And everyone knows that. So just trying to not make that a thing this year.
Dave, in order to not have sacks, it's a group effort.
Okay.
Is what he's saying there.
I'm sorry, I missed part of that because I was like, what did I just hear?
Sacks.
That was Bruce Irvin used to do that as
yeah.
well.
But that was, I mean, you know, that first quote where he's like, oh, no, we had a conversation. There were some things said. And so it wasn't, hey, media blowing this up. He told you right there. And it was a good conversation. They cleared the air. And then you heard what he said about him coming to bat for him.
I kind of heard somewhere, I can't remember, but yeah, that he wasn't particularly happy with that.
Well, who would be, though?
Well, here's the thing. Also, that's a very delicate relationship right there because offensive linemen, and we're talking about a guy getting paid $12 million, and I'm about to say it's a very thankless job, Bob.
Yeah.
But all you get is criticism, and all you get is notice if the quarterback gets sacked or if you jump off sides or if you get a holding penalty that negates some ridiculously awesome play downfield. So, yeah, that's what you can expect from any offensive lineman, no matter how much they get paid, no matter who the quarterback is. That's a pretty fragile relationship there. So I like that, though. I like that he said, oh, yeah, we talked. It was serious, but you heard in, you know, the quote later that Russ is my guy and I love him. And
didn't want to miss a game. And
there we go.
Yep. All right, let's take two.
Well, some brutal news in Baltimore. Adam Schefter is reporting that the Ravens fear that starting running back Gus Edwards suffered a season-ending torn ACL injury today at practice, and then a play later, cornerback Marcus Peters also tore his ACL.
And they lost J.K. Dobbins in the preseason finale, and I was reading, I can't remember the guy's name that's their running back right now, but their primary back right now is somebody they're going to from the practice squad who does not have a single NFL carry.
Tyshawn Williams.
Go
get him in fantasy leagues.
Yeah.
As we have.
So you're looking at that, and they do have Le'Veon Bell on the practice squad.
Oh, good.
You know, he's great. I was just thinking the Seahawks may be able to help assist in that problem.
We were talking about it during the huddle and with Jake and Stacy. I was like, what do you get, though? Like, what can you get from them? I mean, as far as draft choices, it's never something. Like, if you trade, let's just say.
You're not getting your first rounder for Penny.
For Penny, exactly. Yeah. I was going to say, as an example. But, you know, maybe you can get a third rounder. But, you know, a lot of times. Maybe
they want Collins. They're familiar with Collins.
Yeah, they're familiar with him. Maybe
it's Travis Homer.
I don't know, man. Maybe it's Travis and DJ. They'd have to be. We talked to DJ today.
Yeah, I heard
that's
that.
His boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, maybe you get a player back. You know, I mean.
Maybe you get another cornerback. But they did lose Marcus Peters, so I doubt they're parting with cornerbacks.
That's true. That's true. But look, what happened with BJ Finney, that guy did not work out here at all. And then they traded him away with a seventh rounder for Carlos Dunlap, or was it fifth?
I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Since we're a sports show, text it in to 710-710.
It's hard to keep track of every detail of every trade.
Who gives a crap if it was fifth or seventh? Anyway,
somebody will.
Do you have this job?
Yeah, that was the point. Is, I mean, you could get something for that. So yeah, I mean, I think everybody puts two and two together there. And interesting thought with Alex Collins, especially coming off of, you know, he's got some pretty good film from the preseason.
Well, right now the text line's thoroughly entertained by sacks and Dwayne Brown.
Oh, then it's a group effort to prevent.
So don't distract him from that. But the NFL season begins in literally 3 hours. It's a 5:20 kick with the Cowboys and the Bucks, and Dallas is without All-Pro guard Zach Martin, who is sick and recovering from COVID-19. So, kind of a tough debut from Dak Prescott after missing a year.
It's going to be interesting to see what the team looks like, because you feel like you know them a little bit if you watched Hard Knocks.
Yeah,
which is always great. Feel like you've got some knowledge of, you know, where the battles were and the guys that made the roster, the guys that didn't. So I've got a different level of interest in the Cowboys just based on viewing that show. And then I'm also wanting to see what the Bucks are going to look like, because, you know, they brought everybody back. That's an old team. You got some age on that team. Are they going to hold up for 17 regular season games, or is that going to catch up with them? You know, I think the expectation is same team, they're going to duplicate exactly what they did last year.
Is Brady 44? 44 years old?
40.
Somebody sent that in a text to me today. I'm like, no, 44, 40. That can't be right. It just...
Yeah, 44.
Yeah, I can't...
Just turned. His birthday was August 3rd.
I mean,
about a month.
I feel like he's got 3 or 4 years left.
He probably does.
He probably does, the way he takes care of himself, everything. The other thing is, you know, the Dak Prescott thing. I'm a Dak Prescott fan. Have been ever since, you know, I think he was a fourth rounder. Here I go again. I think he was a fourth rounder out of Mississippi State.
You're setting yourself up to be corrected.
But, I mean, I think he's always underrated, and I haven't watched him. Like you said, I kind of got a little attached to him watching Hard Knocks, and I'd love to see them go down there and upset Tampa Bay.
All right, Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberknifeProstate. Coming up, what did Bobby Wagner tell KJ after the Raiders signing became official? Talk about that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up at the top of the hour, Paul Moyer will join us. So stay tuned for that conversation. You guys can text in 710-710 to the Mac and Jack's text line. Getting some nice birthday wishes and some birthday shots taken at me.
There you go.
See, I think they got this one backwards. The 253 says, happy birthday, Bob. Still haven't grown into your head yet. Actually, it's the other way around. My head hasn't grown into my body yet.
His body needs to shrink.
Either my head needs to grow or the body has to shrink. One of those two things needs to happen. But I appreciate it.
What if all of a sudden, like in the next 5 years, you grow like a Groz-like head?
Oh, my goodness. Nobody wins with that one. Hats that are adjustable on the very last notch.
I remember seeing that on Groz.
I took my hat off once and put it on his head, and it sat there like a yarmulke.
All you had to do is like put a little propeller on
top
of it.
It was just balancing on top of his. If he turned his head quickly, it would have fallen off.
So, what's the bigger revelation? You know, news today is it that it's Bob's birthday, or that it takes a group effort to prevent sacks?
Sacks. I love that.
Please tell me we have that in a file somewhere that Bob can play every once in a while.
I like that we just all looked up at each other and went, wait, what? What?
And we got plenty of...
It's a group effort to not have sex.
Takes a lot of people to not do that.
I'm sorry. I disagree with you, Dwayne. It's all on you, man.
It's an individual choice.
It's all on you.
You are fine. You are fine there. All right. So you guys can text in throughout the day. 710-710 to the Mac and Jack's text line. You can send in mean text. We'll save the good ones for tomorrow, which we do every Friday. reminder, don't forget, Mike Salk is back in the mornings each weekday, 6 to 10 a.m. You can hear from Brock Heward daily at 7:45 and 9:30, and John Clayton every day at 8:45. So tune into that. So we talked about, obviously, KJ for a long time, just kind of crossing our fingers, even understanding didn't really have a role on the team when you looked at it with Jordan Brooks here. You still have Bobby. You got Cody. You're kind of thinking, okay, if he does come back, what does that do? Does that stunt the growth of somebody else that is going to be part of the future? So it was more of a selfish, we just love this guy and we want him here. And I think Bobby Wagner was feeling the same way. Like, hey, memory said something about hopefully they make the right move and bring him back. Well, he was asked about this. First of all, he just talked about what it was like playing next to him for the amount of time that he did.
Kind of the perfect storm. I came in and, you know, I didn't know what was going on, but, you know, excited to play football. And then, you know, to have somebody who literally just went through that whole process and was still going through it. And so we kind of grew up together. We, you know, there's a lot of life experience that we were able to, you know, have and be involved in each other's lives for. And there was a lot of football experiences. So we saw a lot of highs, a lot of lows, you know, and we see a lot of growth in one another. And it was amazing to have that type of communication where, you know, I didn't have to say anything and he knew exactly what I was thinking, or, you know, when I wanted to take a chance on something or he wanted to take a chance, you know, we knew we had each other's back. And so, you know, now that we don't have that, we just got to, you know, build it again.
That's something, I don't know if you played with anybody in particular long enough, Dave, to where maybe you just give him a look or a hand, say something where you just knew that's what that means. I know what he's going to do and I've got his back, or he knows what I'm going to do and he's going to cover my back.
It was more like Cortez would do whatever he wanted to do and I would cover his back. And like he would shake me off sometimes like a pitcher. I'd be like, Lenny, which is left with very, you know, or Lacey or Lucy or whatever. Yeah, I guess the dumb offensive lineman could never figure out.
What is he saying?
Anything that starts with an L, okay? But he would shake me off like, no, it was right. I think Ricky. He's like, he'd be up there, no, Lenny.
Oh, he'd yell back.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then everybody knew, but he liked going to his left. And a couple of times he called it off. I'm like, I go to Tom Catlin, I'm like, what should I do? And he's like, well, you better let him go wherever he wants to go. And I'm like, all righty then. And so we did, because, I mean, he was player of the year that year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 92. I'm like, okay.
So then would you yell out the call that you would change it and say, Ricky.
Yeah, and he'd shake me off, and I'd say, check, Lenny. So, yeah.
But I mean, just amongst these two, though, to hear that, you know, he knew when I was going to try to go for something. I knew when he was going to, just that sort of unspoken communication, which you often hear about offensive linemen. They work in concert together. They have this chemistry and this cohesiveness when they've been together for a long time.
Yeah. Well, and for linebackers, it's like they sat and watched film together, you know, and that was the thing. And they would see formations and like, remember in this formation, they run this, I might jump it, you know, and then, you know, get in the game. They see the formation. KJ looks at Bobby. Okay, I'll cover you. There was an old story when I got there that Freddie Young had a Pro Bowl year as a special team player, but he was also a pretty good linebacker. He didn't last for very long. It was like 84, 85, 86, something like that. It was before I got there. And Keith Butler, who was super smart, and so he would every once in a while, Fred Young would just go, I'm going, and be like, what? I'm going. I'm rushing the passer. And Butler would cover his zone for him. So instead of dropping to his hook, he'd drop like in the middle. So he kind of, you know,
covered both sides.
Yeah. So, yeah, that you hear about that stuff all the time. And these two guys, I mean, sitting together and how much, you know, film they watched and everything. It's a shame, man. I mean, all good things have to come to an end. But what was it, 10 years together? Because KJ was here before Bobby got here. Kind of probably took him under his wing a little bit. And, oh, KJ is probably the guy that, you know, I think most Seahawk fans in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years have most regretted seeing go away.
Oh, yeah, without question. One more from Bobby talking about what he said to KJ about him being in the black and silver?
Well, I told him that black and gold or black and silver looks ugly on him, for sure. but, you know, we talked all the time. I was, you know, very aware of everything that was going on. Obviously, I was sad to see him go. But, you know, I was definitely happy because he had an opportunity to continue playing a game that he clearly loves. And it's gonna be weird for sure. But, you know, I look forward to watching his film.
You look ugly in that black and silver.
That's pretty good. I have to say, like, I want him to have a good year. And I do think that it was just a little bit too crowded. I mean, it just wasn't as necessary to have him because they want to develop Daryl Taylor. They have Cody Barton. They have, you know, guys that are working out. But, man, I think if he goes out and has, like, even a year like he did last year, I'm just going to go, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I'm just glad it's not in the NFC.
Yeah, exactly. At least it's in the AFC West, and which is a tough division now, depending on how Denver and Oakland do. But it looks like right now Oakland, Las Vegas. By the way, I got in trouble for calling the San Diego Chargers the San Diego Chargers.
The owner didn't like that.
Yeah, so anyway, but yeah, I don't mind him having a good year, but it will be a little bit disappointing. If you're seeing him pick off passes and sacks on weekends and see him on SportsCenter, you're going to go, eh, that's our guy.
Couldn't use that here, huh? All right. All right. Meanwhile, the Mariners bullpen might have one big surprise left to unveil. We'll tell you what that's about coming up next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Paul Moyer will join us, talk some Seahawks football with him. You guys can text in 710-710 to the Mac and Jack's text line. Anything you've got on your mind on any topic at any point during the week, it's there for you to vent. So we'll talk with him coming up. But meanwhile, the Mariners with a night off, which stinks. Hate it.
Why do they do this to us?
I know. You only got a few games left. Just run them all in a row.
I just want to prepare you that the season is going to end here. What are you going to do with yourself?
Well, maybe they'll get into the postseason. There'll be more of it.
All right.
Then
that's going to end.
Yeah, it'll end at some point at which, you know, we'll be fully immersed into the Seahawks. It'll be, you know what it'll be like, Dave? What? It'll be like when you're merging onto a freeway and you need the zipper action and one car goes and then the other car from the left lane goes behind that and then one from the right lane goes behind that left lane. You know that? That's going to be, here come the Mariners, and then right behind them are going to be the Seahawks. It's just going to merge.
Merge it. Okay, I got you.
Does that make sense?
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
I like that. Just don't be the guy in the right lane where it's not disappearing, and then there's no zipper, and then you jam up the zipper that way. And you think you're
being... Don't do that, Mariners.
You think you're being like this noble person, like, I'm not going to cut. It's not cutting. The lane is there for the purpose of that. So, yeah, that's a good analogy. I like that. We'll be fully into the Seahawks. And then, you know, once it gets to the season, you know, we'll see, like, maybe in December, maybe the Mariners start to get some activity going and get maybe some kind of an idea of how they're going to add,
yeah,
you know, and then some of these younger guys, what's the report at the end of their seasons and, you know, double A, triple A.
Well, here Scott Service was talking about the bullpen, which has been absolutely nails for the most part. Doesn't mean there haven't been hiccups along the way, but just you're looking, evaluating them as a whole in their season. They've been the key. Because your offense, even today, is still one of the lower-ranked offenses in baseball. You're just not a potent offense. But timely, they've been clutch, one-run games, things like that. But in terms of pile, I mean, you look at the run differential. You see they get their butt kicked 11-2 or 12-1, or they just don't put up that many runs. We've talked about the rotation, losing three starters out of that rotation, the uneven performances out of Kikuchi and Gilbert in the second half, and, you know, things like that. So it's really been the bullpen, and they've leaned on them heavily. And Scott Service talking about that, saying everybody in there is tired this time of year.
Yeah, everybody's at this time of year, you know, the teams that are still in it and fighting, you know, in that playoff hunt, you know, those guys in the bullpen, they're all going to have their days where maybe they don't feel 100%. So, you know, Paul has been great all year long. He takes the ball. He takes care of himself. He just got behind the count.
So that was when he had a little hiccup out there, and maybe fatigue could be setting in with him. So is there an answer? Is there somebody out there, Jerry DePoto, talking about a name you could see?
Now, George Kirby is about as polished a young pitcher as you're going to see with big-time weapons. We think he's really at the doorstep. The guy who might be closer than any of them right now is Matt Brash. Oh. And, you know, we picked him up last summer. It is tremendous stuff. He has pitched a full minor league season of innings. So we are not likely to see him start here in these last 3 weeks, but we've at least had discussion about the potential for adding him in the bullpen. If things stay as interesting as they are now.
Maybe Matt Brash. I believe he came over in that San Diego deal, in the Nola deal, which just looks like one of the all-time great deals. And Nola's done a nice job for San Diego, but, boy, you got Ty France out of that. You got Brash out of that. Trammell came from there. Hopefully he turns into something, but... Yeah. You know, looking like a good deal right now.
Yeah, and really I'm looking good at his Arkansas.
So that was actually, sorry to interrupt there, separate deal.
Was Brash a separate deal?
Yeah, I thought it was for Taylor Williams.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, it wasn't so in the they whole... just fleeced the Padres, though. Like
but it
the
was
Rays.
With the Padres, yes. But a separate transaction. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, it wasn't
so
part
two
of that.
Good deals with the Padres, so even better.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, he's AA Arkansas Traveler. Sure looks good, those numbers. He's 6-3, 2.08 ERA. Guy's pitched 86 innings, so yeah, I hadn't really thought about him, 131 strikeouts, but yeah, I was just looking at Sewald, and you know, I don't know, what were we saying about the bullpen going in? I mean, it's just,
the same thing it was Dave will say next season.
It's a question
we'll
mark.
See.
Yeah.
that's not a shot at anybody. That's even if it's Sewald back, and it's Masevich back, and it's the same crew.
Yeah.
You're not going in going, oh, we're set, because anybody who's watched baseball for any amount of time, you see how year to year, it just changes for no reason in particular. You're just looking at it going, this guy was nails last year.
Teams
can't get anybody. Yeah. We saw it here with Seattle. I think it was, I can't remember if it was 17-18 or 16-7. One year they had the best bullpen or one of the top two bullpens in all of baseball.
Yeah. Right.
And brought back almost entirely the same staff. And they were one of the worst bullpens in baseball.
Right.
With no real reason. Yeah, injury here or there. But for the most part, you're going, I don't understand. And that's just the nature of relief pitchers. That you're just like, man, one year they could be lights out. Maybe they're like that for a couple years, and then all of a sudden they can't get anybody out.
Well, and then, you know, how do you predict or account for a guy like Paul Sewald? I think I was trying to call him Pewald. Paul Sewald, I mean,
that's his nickname.
He comes up with Kelnick. He comes up with Gilbert. And then, you know, we're thinking, okay, well, this is a nice afterthought here. Guy's 30 years old. I mean, nobody last year when we were talking about at this time about the bullpen was mentioning his name, and he's just been money. I mean, he gave up a home run the other day, in the last two games. But other than that, if you just look at his numbers, it's unbelievable. But how do you predict that kind of thing? I don't know. That's one of the bigger mysteries to me, because like you said, it's not like, you know, I was comparing it to offensive line. That, like, with offensive line, I feel like you can get good guys in there. But like you said, you have good pitchers that – you know, you trust,
mm-hmm.
and then the next year they suck.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, the rarities in baseball when it comes to relief pitchers are people like Mariano Rivera or Billy Wagner or Lee Smith or any of these closers that year in, year out, they are money, they are nails, and they are just, you know what's going to happen. You get a blip, a guy who's just killing it for a year, a season or two, and then nothing. Yeah. You know, that's more the norm. The Riveras and those people that are just that consistent year in, year out. I'm not saying everybody's as good as him, but just you just know that's that team's closer every year.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen.
Or you get some guy like Graveman and you turn him into a closer and
turns out pops. He's never had a year like this. Right. Now, does that mean he's this guy moving forward? I don't know. Yeah. You know, we'll find out next year. But he could all of a sudden have a 5 ERA, and he's getting lit up by everybody next year. I mean, you just don't know. So we'll see. But, I mean, Sewald, that bullpen has been so good and so dependable and so reliable. And we'll see if they do bring up another name in Brash. It'd be interesting if they did. All right. We look forward to this every week. One of our favorites to speak with, and you guys love hearing from him. Paul Moyer will join us next year with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.